the fourth Sunday after Easter. The epistle is taken from the first letter of St. James. Beloved, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration. Of his own will he has begotten us by the word of truth, that we might be, as it were, the first fruits of his creatures. You know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the justice of God. Therefore, casting aside all uncleanness and abundance of malice, with meekness receive the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The gospel is taken from that of St. John. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, I am going to him who sent me, and no one of you asked me, where art thou going? But because I have spoken to you these things, sorrow has filled your heart. But I speak the truth to you, it is expedient for you that I depart. For if I do not go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of justice, and of judgment of sin. Because they do not believe in me, of justice, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more, and of judgment, because the prince of the world has already been judged. Many things yet I have to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will teach you all the truth, and he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he will hear, he will speak, and the things that are to come, he will declare to you. He will glorify me, because he will receive what is mine and declare it to you. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This week there was a little incident that barely made the news. It happened in Europe. The Archbishop of Brussels was at a conference, Archbishop Vincent. He was on the stage, and a group of four ladies in robes, approached the stage. They threw off their robes, and they began to curse at him. They got up on the stage, and they started spraying water on him, swearing at him, yelling at him, and cursing at him. It took them a few minutes to kind of get them off the stage. But apparently this was in response to an interview the Archbishop had given a couple weeks ago, where when asked about the sin which arises from the attraction of the same sexes, now the sin that arises from that, when asked about that, he said that they should live in the same way that the Church says anyone who does not live in marriage should be, that is, a marriage between a man and a wife, that they should remain celibate. Doesn't matter where this attraction comes from, what's the cause of it, but they should remain celibate. And so this answer was not satisfactory to them, and so they decided to accost him. Now, this is not the first time this Archbishop has said something like this, just put forth the teaching of the Church. This is not the first time he was accosted either. A few years ago, he had in his cathedral, someone came up to him and smashed a pie in his face. And in another occasion, some other people came and they again attacked him with custard pies. For his position. Now, during the attack, he just sat quietly looking down. And I'm sure he prayed for them. His attackers were angry. Why were they angry? It says so here in the epistle. The wrath of man, that is, the anger of man, does not work the justice of God. That is, they want to be justified in their sin. Remember, Christ, only Christ, can take away sin. But the devil mocks this. How? He tries to take away sin by convincing people that what they're doing is not a sin. And so these people are convinced that they are not committing a sin. And so they're angry when people don't agree with them. This is the justification. This is what St. James means when he says, the wrath of man does not justify. Just because they're angry, just because they yell about it, doesn't make the truth any different. That what they are doing is wrong. Now, in the epistle also, St. James talks about every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. The greatest of those gifts is, of course, our sanctification, our salvation, that which was won by Christ upon the cross, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, from which we receive sanctifying grace, the grace that makes us holy. This is the difference between the justification of man and the justification of God. God justifies us and makes us holy. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit comes, and with him comes the other two persons of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings other gifts also. He brings the virtues, faith, hope, and charity. Brings other moral virtues to help us to resist sin. But he brings this great, mysterious grace. The sanctifying grace. The grace that makes us holy. The grace that makes us pleasing to God. The grace that gives us the ability to go to heaven. Sanctifying grace is not the Holy Spirit, but it is the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is what makes us holy. It is difficult for us to understand this grace, for we often think about actions. Father, is it when I do this or that? It has nothing to do with our actions. The grace that helps us to do that is called actual grace, helps us to do good and avoid evil. Sanctifying grace comes, and it's a state in the soul. The person who's asleep is still in sanctifying grace, even though they're doing nothing. The little baby receives sanctifying grace at baptism. He's a little infant. Before the water is poured on, he doesn't have it. After it is poured on, he has it. It's a mysterious grace, but it is what makes our soul holy, that is like God, and it gives us the ability to go to heaven. We lose sanctifying grace when we commit a mortal sin. Mortal sin destroys the image of God in our heart. The Holy Spirit departs, the Holy Trinity departs. We lose that grace. We are no longer pleasing to God. We are no longer holy. And because of that, if the soul dies in that state, of course, God has no other choice. The soul has forced God, in a sense, to send them to hell. Now, of course, God in his mercy gives us the ability to be restored. After baptism, one can go to confession and be restored into sanctifying grace through a good confession. You have to confess your mortal sins and receive absolution, of course, and be sorry for them. And we can be restored and receive that grace. But we have to remember that this grace is a gift. I did not merit my sanctification. It was given to me, as St. James says. It is a gift from God the Father. It was won by Christ upon the cross, but it was a gift to me. And it was a gift to you also. And it is a gift that we have to preserve. When we lose it, we should go to confession immediately. Is sanctifying grace equal in all people? No. All we have to do is look at Our Lady. Am I as holy as the Blessed Mother? No, she is far holier than me. Sanctifying grace is in different levels in different people. Once you have it, once you are holy, you can become holier. How do you do that? You can receive the sacraments. That's the easiest way. Every time one receives a sacrament, and they're in a state of grace, if you receive communion, or marriage, or confirmation, every time you receive a sacrament, you get an increase in sanctifying grace, based upon the fervor by which you receive that sacrament. So every time someone receives communion, they become holier, along with all the other graces and gifts that God gives us. God gives us Himself in the sacrament, but we become holier based upon our fervor. If someone just receives communion and they're in a state of grace, well, you know, they're not in mortal sin. You have to be in a state of grace, of course, to receive communion, but just receives it, doesn't give much of a thanksgiving, is a little bit distracted, we're not going to receive much sanctifying grace. The soul, though, who receives communion, prepares himself here at Mass, readying for the moment at which communion is given, and then gives a good thanksgiving, gets an increase, a greater increase in sanctifying grace. They become holier, without a doubt. We receive an increase in sanctifying grace when one goes to confession without a mortal sin. You just confess your venial sins. You haven't committed a mortal sin. That's called a confession of devotion. You confess maybe the sins that you're having difficulty with, maybe past sins, and you receive the graces to help you to fight against those sins. Those are actual graces to do good and avoid evil. But you also have an increase in holiness when you do that. And it's based upon the fervor at which you receive confession. Sanctifying grace. It is what makes us holy. It is what makes us heirs to heaven. We're able to go to heaven because we have this grace. And what is it? It is a gift. We were given it. We did not earn it. Someone else earned it for us. Christ did upon the cross, and then in conjunction with that, someone else might have prayed for us. Might not have prayed for us explicitly, but through someone else's prayers, the grace was given to us. It might have been our parents. It might have been someone who we don't even know. We won't know till the end of time that grace was given to us. You know, while the Archbishop was attacked by these ladies, they sprayed water on him from bottles. And these bottles were bottles of Our Lady. You ever see the bottles from Lourdes? They're in the shape of Our Lady. And there's a picture of him kissing one of them afterwards. And these ladies were interviewed. One of them was interviewed. And they asked her what the Archbishop was doing. And she said, he just sat there looking down. I think he was praying for us. Yes, he probably was praying for them. Praying for their soul. Praying to our Lord that the same prayer that he made upon the cross. That our Lord, that God would not hold this against them. That he would have mercy on them. And that maybe he would give them the grace of conversion, that grace of sanctifying their souls. And so I don't think these type of incidences or this incident is not going to happen again. I think these things are going to become maybe a little more common. It might not be covered in the media, but I wouldn't be surprised if more of these things happen. And we need to follow and look to what the Archbishop did. He prayed for them. He probably just offered himself and asked God to give them the grace to be converted, to have the true justification of God, not the justification of man through anger, trying to say what I'm doing is not wrong and you need to agree with this. That's the false justification. But the true justification, the conversion of heart, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the sanctification of the soul. So let us then pray for these people who are not in the state of grace. We don't know exactly who is in grace and who isn't, but we should pray for everyone, for we were the beneficiaries of someone's prayer. So now let us then pray for others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.